Blog Talk Radio.
To God. Hallelujah. 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 You are great, O Lord God, but there like you. There is none like our Father. And all we can do this morning is just say hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father God, for another day. Thank you for waking us up this morning, Lord God, giving us a pep in our step and a hallelujah praise in our heart. Lord God, I lift this word up to you this morning, asking you, Lord God, as I do every day, please, Lord, Father God, let the words of my mouth, the words of our mouths, Mother Valerie and I, Lord God, may they be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But you, Lord God, are our strength. You, Lord God, are our redeemer. You, Lord God, are our everything. We are nothing without you. Absolutely nothing without you, God. So, Father God, I thank you again for giving us this mighty word, this basic instruction before leaving earth, Lord God. May it permeate our hearts, our minds, our spirits. Lord God, when we need a word to fight the wiles of the enemy, bring the word back to our remembrance. Bring the scripture back to our remembrance that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, Lord God. And our weapon of choice is your word, God, your mighty and awesome word, God. And we lift it up this morning, thanking you for being our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Your will, O God, be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, God, our daily bread. And forgive us our debt of sin, God, as we forgive those that have sinned against us, God. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all kinds of evil, especially the wiles of the evil one. But thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, God. For you are in charge of everything. We are nothing without you, Father. And I ask you, Lord God, in the struggle, thank you, Lord God, in the good time. Thank you, Lord God, in the bad time. But everything is for a purpose and a reason. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord, for being in my life and for loving me. Hallelujah. Unconditionally. In the name of the matchless Savior, Jesus Christ, I lift up today's word. I ask you to bless all those that are listening. Bless Mother Valerie as she reads her word today. Lord God, give us strength. Keep her covered under the blood and keep all those listening covered as well, God. I pray this morning again in Jesus' name for the sick and the shut-in, for the helpless and the hopeless, for the homeless and the addicted, for the children. Lord God, remove fright from their spirits. Let them not walk in fear, but in faith that they are covered by your blood, Jesus. As schools are starting to wind down, Lord God, I ask you to, Lord God, put hedges of protection around each child coming to and fro and within their schools, God. Protect them from all hurt, harm, and danger. But the evil one is busy, and he's after our children. So, Father God, I ask protection in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and I am rejoicing, and I am glad in it. I am thankful God gave me another day because he didn't have to do it. Hallelujah. If you are in Springfield area and are looking for a word from God in revival, please go to Grace United Methodist Church on Capitol Avenue in Springfield, 16th and Capitol, for a mighty word of God. I was able to attend revival last night, and Pastor Joshua West was the preacher that preached, and this young man, who I've known for many years, who allowed the Lord to use him as he spoke on the woman with the issue of blood. What a mighty word. So shout out to Zion just for your awesome young pastor who brought a word last night. Woo, praise the Lord. Tonight, the pastor will be from Kingdom Authority. Oh, no, it's not right. King of Kings, Pastor Brewer. And on tomorrow will be Union Baptist Pastor, Pastor McDuncan. So if you are in the area, please attend starting at 7 p.m. Grace United Methodist Church Revival. You will receive a move of God. And now, church announcements are over. Let's get into this word today. And, you know, as I prayed this morning, you know, I felt, and I just want to say thank you, Lord, for you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, which is our title from this morning. And it is coming out of 2 Samuel chapter 7. David was a mighty man of God. And he was feeling some kind of way that he was living in this beautiful house and the ark of God was in a tent. And so he wanted to build God a house. He wanted to build a temple for God. And so, you know, he started getting all excited. And then God had to slow him down. And David just went into prayer and meditation. And we have to learn how to go into prayer and meditation, because some things don't come forth but through fasting and prayer and meditation. Spend time with God in order to hear God. You know, we can't run and run and run and run and run and throw a prayer in here or there. We got to stop, take a minute, and go into prayer. And I know God wakes me up early in the morning just to spend time with him. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, for your goodness and for your kindness. And let's get into his word today. I am coming out of 2 Samuel chapter 7 through chapter 8, verse 18. Mother Valerie will be coming out of the 64th Psalm, verses 1 through 10, Proverbs chapter 16, verses 18 through 19, and John chapter 5, verses 24 through 47, if you'd like to mark them in your Bible. And let's get in the Word. And we do have what the Bible says and some life lessons from Dr. Charles Stanley. So, again, God rest his lovely soul. And it says this in our word today. Now it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains." Then Nathan said to the king, "Go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "And tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved about in a tent and in a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will abhor my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more, as previously, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused you to rest from all your enemies. Also, the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established, throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord. And he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord God. And you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Now what more can David say to you? For you, Lord God, know your servant. For your words, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God, but there is none like you, nor is there any God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people, like Israel, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself, as a people to make for himself a name, and to do for yourself great and awesome deeds for your land before your people whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, the nations and their gods. But you have made your people Israel your very own people forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. Now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house. Establish it forever and do as you have said. So let your name be magnified, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true. And you have promised this goodness to your servant. Now, therefore, let it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you, O Lord God, have spoken it, and with your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever. What a word. What a prayer. Let the house of your servant be blessed. Your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever. We all want that prayer, to be blessed forever. Let our homes be blessed forever. Let our children be blessed forever. And our seeds be blessed forever. We want the blessings of Abraham. We want to know that God is with us, and that comes from spending time with him in prayer, in supplication, calling on the name of Jesus. When the enemy attacks, call on the name of Jesus. When he comes at you, call on the name of Jesus. When you feel that darkness trying to take over, call on the name of Jesus. When demons attack, call on the name of Jesus. Whatever your demon may be, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's promiscuity, whether it's pornography, whatever your demon is, call on the name of Jesus and it will flee. Woo, praise God this morning. Can for being God, being the Lord of all, being a God of goodness and grace and loving us immensely, we got to spend time with God. But he is great. He is the Lord. And there is none like him. And this is what the word of the lessons for today say. 2 Timothy 7:8. I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. God will take you from the least among his children and put you high above. And he says, when we begin to enjoy some success, we would do well to remind ourselves of where we came from. Dr. Stanley know how to break it down. And as they say, I listened to Joe Madison, and Joe Madison loves to say what his grandfather taught him. You got to put it where the goats can get it. We got to put it where everybody understands it, where everybody can get it into their spirit. You know, I took you from the sheep, from following the sheep to be ruler over my people, over Israel. When we begin to enjoy some success, we would do well to remind ourselves of where we came from and how we arrived at our place of blessing. It is all God's doing. You know, some folks get so high on the hog, as we used to say, where I came from, that they think that they are above it all, looking down on people, talking about everybody and where I got this and I did that and I have not done anything. Everything I have and who I am is from God and the village that he gave me to be the example, to be the best I can be. Sometimes I fail. And many times, all I have is God. All I have, not many times, all the time, all I have is God to pick me up, dust me off, and say, okay, now, it's time to move forward. Can't get stuck in the muck. Can't get stuck in the mark. Got to get up, shake it off, what you need to do. But never forget where you come from. Never forget who brought you up. Never forget the people that were there for you. The women of your church who were the examples. Your godmother, your mother, your uncles, your aunts, your cousins and friends. Those from the old days. Don't forget who you were. Remember who was with you always. We got to remember who brought us up. We are nothing without God. We can't get our head so high in the clouds that we forget who brought us wherever we may be. You know, so many folks get stuff. They get the good jobs. They get the money. They get the cars. And they forget God. Don't forget God, because he will remind you who he is. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 29. Bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. God blesses us in love with his own loving character. As to honor and keep his word, we don't deserve his blessing. But we can set ourselves up for them by our willing obedience to the Lord. David responded to God's gracious promise by praying that God would fulfill it. David understood that by praying according to God's promise, he aligned himself with God's will. We can do the same thing. The Lord ultimately fulfilled this covenant in the Son of David, Jesus Christ, who rules forever. Hallelujah. And it says this, what the Bible says about the immense value of meditation. And I like to say the immense value of prayer and time with God. This is, Dr. Stanley says, the mere mention of the word meditation tends to conjure up images foreign to the Western mind. Perhaps that's why so many contemporary believers have removed the word from their vocabulary. But we do this at our great peril. Meditation greatly helps us to listen accurately to God. Perhaps no man pursued this godly endeavor more fervently and fruitfully than King David. Many psalms resulted from his quiet waiting and reflecting upon God. As a man after God's own heart, David first had to know the mind and heart of God. To a large extent, David accomplished this through the persistent practice of meditation. In our overscheduled lives, we often find it difficult to see a purpose in what we do with so many things and people clamoring for our time. We must return to one of life's most important time with God. We can't get so caught up in ourselves that we forget to get caught up with Jesus. We forget to get caught up with God. You know, friends of mine know that when they call me at certain times where I'm going to be, and where I'm going to be is in that place where it's quiet. And that happens to be my garage and my car. My car has been prayed up, prayed in, cried in, screamed in. It is my place where I spend time, just me and God. I will just lay back, put the seat back. There have been times where I've just parked outside of my garage, opened the sunroof, lay back, and looked up at the stars. And just thank God for his grace and for his mercy. Because it's God that we should spend time with. And I love what Dr. Stanley tells us. It's godly meditation means lifting your heart heavenward and listening to God It is focusing your attention on Christ and shutting out everything else without practicing daily meditation on the Lord. It is impossible to experience holiness of heart. Meditation allows you to concentrate on who God is and to grow into oneness with Him. Contentment with meditation on God becomes great contentment of your soul. Being a help to someone else. If we don't draw our strength from God, we soon run out of strength. Been there, done that. Running. And just giving God a minute or two. And when God gave me this opportunity to spend time with Him in His Word, and He said, you got to share it. So what I'm sharing with moving forward is my time with God. It's my time in His Word that I share with all of you. And I pray that this hour that you spend with us, with Mother Valerie and I, that you think about the goodness of God and that you understand that this is time with Him. It's not about me reading you the Word and Mother Valerie reading you the Word. It's about you reading the Word with us and thinking on what God is saying to you. What God may be saying to me from this Word may be different what He's saying to you. But it's your time, this 1 hour, every day that you can spend with Him. It's an hour that you get closer to Him. And it says, in order to continue the habit of meditating on the Lord, we must guard against the meditating simply out of habit. We must have a pure purpose for meditation to get to know God more intimately. We must also have a plan for when we come to Him, including a portion of time when we meditate on His Word and a prayer journal in which to offer prayers and write what God tells us through the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures. Meditate on the Lord's goodness, His faithfulness, His plan for your life, His will for you, His glory and His promises. Meditate on who He is, and you will come to know His character and His desires in a deep, fresh way. Woo! Got filled up because I think about how good God is. Chapter 8, after this came to pass, that David attacked the Philistines and subdued them. And David took Mithiak, Ammah, and from the hand of the Philistines. Then he defeated Moab, forcing them down to the ground. He measured them off with a line, with two lines. He measured off those to be put to death, and with one full line, those to be kept alive. So the Moabites became David's servants and brought tribute. David also defeated Hadadezer, the son of Rahab, king of Zobah, as he went to recover his territory at the river Euphrates. David took from him 1,000 chariots, 700 horsemen, and 20,000 foot soldiers. Also, David hamstrung all the chariot horses, except that he spared enough of them for 100 chariots. When the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David killed 22,000 of the Syrians. Then David put a garrison in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants and brought tribute. So the Lord preserved David wherever he went, and David took the shields of gold that had belonged to the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. Also from Betha and from Betharoth, cities of Hadadezer, King David took a large amount of bronze. When Toi, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated all the army of Hadadezer, then Toi sent Joram, his son, to King David to greet him and bless him because he had fought against Hadadezer and defeated him, for Hadadezer had been at war with Toi. And Joram brought with him articles of silver, articles of gold, and articles of bronze. King David also dedicated these to the Lord along with the silver and gold that he had dedicated from all the nations which he had subdued, from Syria, from Moab, from the people of Ammon, from the Philistines, from Amalek, and from the spoil of Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah. And David made himself a name when he returned from killing 18,000 Syrians in the Valley of Gaul. He also put garrisons in Edom. Throughout the Edom, he put garrisons, and the Edomites became David's servants. And the Lord preserved David wherever he went. So David reigned over all Israel, and David administered judgment and justice to all the people. Joab, the son of Zerah, was over the army. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. Zadok, the son of Amalek, the son of Abathar, was the priest. Zerah was the scribe. Benaniah, the son of Joadiah, was over both the Cherahites and the Bileites. And David's sons were chief ministers. And just a word for chapter 8 of 2 Samuel, verse 6. The Lord preserved David wherever he went. As the Lord preserved David wherever he went, so he can preserve us wherever we go. If we make the Lord our delight, as David did, then we can enjoy the same kind of blessing that David did. Are you spending time with God? Is what I asked this morning. And as I turn it over to Mother Valerie. Good morning, Mother Valerie. I do what I need to do. I'm so sorry, Mother Valerie. I've been talking and wondering why Mother Valerie hasn't been speaking, because Mother Valerie's line was not open. So, Mother, I apologize. Good morning, Mother. How are you today? Good morning, Mother Valerie. Your line is open. I think Mother Valerie is still on mute. Good morning, Mother Valerie.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can
good
now.
Morning.
You sure can. Good morning. Good morning.
Okay.
I apologize. I got filled up this morning, Mother, and didn't open your line. So God, please forgive me for not opening the line of the co-host this morning. But I am grateful that you are here and we are able to hear you. How are you this morning? Are you ready for a mighty word of God? As you know, I looked at your word and I thought, whoa, look at God. Hear my voice, oh God, in my meditation. We talking meditation this morning because we know who we talking to. But he is great, our God. You are great, oh Lord, God. But there is none like you. But we got to meditate on his word every day. Hallelujah.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you well, very well, as we turn it over to you.
You know, the word, good morning, saints of God and people of God. You know, the word meditation, it simply means to pause, selah, pause and think about what you're reading. A lot of times you read things and you read things and you don't remember what you read. But God is telling you to pause, think about what you're reading. I'm reading Psalms 64, 1 and 10. Hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity. Sharpen their tongue like a sword, being their bows to shoot their arrows, bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who will see them? They devise iniquities. We have a perfect, shrewd scheme. Both the inward thought of the heart of a man are deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. So he will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away. All men shall fear. They shall declare the work of God. For they shall wisely consider his doings. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him. And all the upright in heart shall glory. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. I think Janice Wood, my sister, loved that scripture. I'm reading Proverbs 16, 18, and 19. Pride goes before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to desire to spoil with the proud. That's a good scripture. Pride goes before destruction. If you're a proud person, it goes before destruction. Good morning, Rita Davis and Randy Davis. That's my little sister, my baby sister. And, you know, I thank God for my spiritual family and my real family, blood family, you call them. Thank God for my brother Dennis, my daughter, and Lisa, Janice's daughter, was here to spend 7 days with her mother. And, you know, when she does that, Janice seemed to be more happier. Oh, anyway, I'm going to get back to the lesson. John 5, 24, 47. Most surely I say to you, he who hears my word, believes in him who sent me, has everlasting life. You know, that's amazing. All God requires of his children is to believe. And, you know, some people can't even believe. He said, you have everlasting life if you believe the word of God. I mean, if I tell you that I'm going to give you $100, you believe that even before you get the $100. Oh, thank you, Mother. Thank you. Why can't we believe God? Why can't we trust him and believe that he's going to do what he say do? God is not a man that he should lie. He can't lie. He's God. Can you imagine God, Abba, the maker of heaven and the earth? Earth is his footstool. My Lord, if you believe in him, you'll have everlasting life and should not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can't of myself do nothing. That's with me and with everybody else. We can't of ourselves really do nothing. We really have to lean on the Lord to wake us up. Can't wake up by a clock. A clock can't wake you up. It really can't. God is the one that wakes you up. I myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bear witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnessed of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has bore witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent him, you do not believe. You search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. It's amazing. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. But how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do you think that I shall accuse you to the Father? There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writing, how will you believe my word? I mean, how can you believe my word? You can't. And Jesus was speaking to the Sadducees and all the people. He's telling them, if you had believed Moses was talking about me. He was saying that I was going to come to you, and now I'm here, and you still don't believe my word. You don't believe life lessons, John 5:29. Come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Every person who's ever lived will one day stand before God at the judgment, either to receive rewards for spirit-empowered activity or to receive condemnation for self-focused behavior. I mean, you got to go before God for yourself. You can't say, well, you know, my mama is a preacher, my daddy is a pastor, and I'm a child of them. No, it said every person who has ever lived will one day stand before God for whatever you do in this body. I mean, you can't go on somebody else's, you know, what they have done. It's every person standing before God is a judgment. Either we receive reward or receive a condemnation. John 5:30.
Okay.
I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who have sent me. This is Jesus. I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who have sent me. You know, in the garden when he was dying, he said three times, I mean, that body, oh my Lord, that body did not want to die. The body did not want to die. But the spirit was willing. He said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus prayed three times, three different times, not my will. Because if he had his own will, he would have went on back to heaven. Salvation wouldn't have been accomplished. Nothing would have been done. But he said, not my will. Thy will be done. He took the weight, the sin of the whole world. That's a lot of weight, a lot of sin on his shoulders. And that was heavy. I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. As the perfect reflection of his heavenly Father, Jesus spoke and acted just as God would speak or act if he were walking on the earth. God the Father and God the Son always speak and act as one. It said, when you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. And a lot of people don't understand that. But the scripture just said, God the Father and God the Son always speak and act as one. So you have to believe the word of God. And like she was saying, like Pastor was saying, in meditation, pause and think about it. You have to read something, pause, think about it, ask God to open up that mind so that you can rightly divide the word of truth, so you can speak the word of truth. You know, a lot of times my brother, he reads the Bible. But when he reads it, he sees something different. And when I read it, I tell him the way God shows it to me. And he tells me, well, you don't understand. And then I tell him the same thing. Then if you really don't understand what you're reading. And I believe God opens up my mind and let me rightly divide the word of truth. Because that's what you really have to do. You have to let God interpretate to you what you're reading, or you really won't understand. You really won't. You know, God is just a good God all the time. He's good. And if you want to know God, if you really want to know God, all you got to do is say, Lord, show yourself to me. Show me who you really are. And it's as simple as that. It's asking him. If you're real, then prove to me that you're real. Open up the door. Show me you so I can see you. And through his word, God will let you see him. He'll love so much of himself. You know, every time I look out my window, my picture window, even when it's raining, I see God. Even in the raindrops, I see God, the little birds in the tree, the rabbits or the squirrels that are going up the trees. Even when I get up in the morning, brush my teeth, I see God. He gives me the ability to do this. Some people can't brush their teeth, and some people can't walk in the front room and look out the window. When I look out the window and look at the trees and the sun and come up, sunset, and the morning gets started, I see God. Even when I see people, when I see the cars and the things that God has allowed people to make and do, I see God. I mean, if you really want to see God, God said he has left so much of himself here. You can see God if you want to. You look at the sun, you look at the stars, you look at the moon, you look at yourself. You look at yourself. We are a reflection of God. There's so much God has left of himself. How can you be an atheist and deny God? Well, I can't. Me, myself, and I cannot do it because I see so much of God. Mm-hmm. When it's raining, the rain brings May flowers. That's what Rita says. The rain, we have to have rain. And if it didn't rain, we wouldn't have food. There wouldn't be no food. So as you go along the day, look up. Look up, because your redemption draws near. God is more nearer to us now than ever before. He's coming back, saints. He's really coming back. The signs of the end time are truly here. So much going on in the world. And you know what he tells us? Fear not, my little children. Don't be afraid of what's going on. There's shootings. There's robberies. There's stealing. There's so much going on out there in the world. A lot. But God is with us. He truly is with us. And we are living in the last days. You know, I'm looking for the rapture to occur. And I know Rita and Dennis are doing the same thing. Pastors are doing the same. Pastor Bridget is doing the same thing. We're all looking for God to return. And it's going to happen. Because he says, when you see these signs, and the signs are here, people are killing people for little of nothing. Oh, you looked at me wrong. And I didn't like your look, and you looked at me wrong. A man in St. Louis got killed over a hamburger. A hamburger. The man, his uncle took his hamburger, or he took his uncle's hamburger, and he got killed over it. He shot him for taking a hamburger. I mean, that's a true story. You get killed over little of nothing. It's just like me and my mother was in California, and it was a parking spot. And what happened was the man saw the parking spot, we saw the parking spot, and we got ready to pull in. And the man went to his car and got a shotgun. Mama said, come on, let's get out of here. I mean, he was going to kill us. The parking spots are for whoever gets there first. Boy, we took off running to stand there and let that man kill us over a parking spot. You're supposed to yield. I mean, a lot of times people do wrong. They do wrong to you. And, you know, you really want to do something to them. But God says, stand still. Stand still. I will fight your battles. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God will fight for you. Can you imagine God, you just standing there, and God will fight for you like he fought at the Red Sea? He said, as for me and my house, we will stand for God. If you stand still, as a song called Still, stand still. Just be still. Be quiet. Let God tell you what to do. Follow God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I mean, it will be a mighty battle, because when God do something, it's done. It's a done deal. God is good.
It's a done deal.
All the time. And I'm going to turn this back over to the hands of Pastor Bridget. In Jesus'
Amen,
name.
Mother. Amen. Our prayer today, you know how God will put everything in the atmosphere. And we've talked about meditation and who God is. Excuse me. And this is what it says. It says, the Lord answered her. And a title for this meditation is Life Gets Busy. Because the Lord answered her, Martha, my beloved Martha, why are you upset and troubled, pulled away by all these many distractions? Are they really that important? Mary has discovered the one thing most important by choosing to sit at my feet. She is undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her. Because remember, it's the story of Martha and Mary where Mary had the, she just said it, she was soaking in Jesus. And Martha was trying to get food ready and cleaning and putting this and doing that. And you know, and I saw it. I'm like, oh, my God. I want to be a Mary. I want to sit at your feet. But so many times we are Martha's trying to get everything we got to get done. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to go here. I got to go there. And what God has been doing with me is saying, rest. All that stuff you got to do, it's going to be there. But right now, you need to rest. Because it's not your time. But if you don't rest, it will be. And I'm like, okay, God. Because when your joints start to hurt and you get overwhelmed, God's like, ah, take some time. And when you rest, rest in the Lord. Spend time with him. And this is what he said, Lord, when I am overwhelmed by all the tasks that need to get done, would you gently remind me that your presence is near, beckoning me? There are so many distractions that pull at my attention every day, but peace is found in resting at your feet. Give me an undivided heart that is fixed on you. I offer you my attention right here in this moment. As I quiet my heart and remind and mind before you, I know that I will find the wisdom I need. I won't be troubled by my to-do list when I get back to work, because your peace fills me with the confidence and clarity I need. In the busyness of life, help me to intentionally practice resting in you in stolen moments. As I practice your presence throughout my day, I know that I will be better for it, undistracted, and filled with the light of your wisdom. And the question for today, as we have read in our Old Testament and our New Testament, how can you practice setting in the presence of God in the middle of a busy day? And I have found that sometimes you just got to sit in your car, in the garage, and have quiet time. Just you and God. If there's anyone else that would like to speak this morning, please push the number 1 on your phone, and your line will be open. We do have a few more minutes. And if there is not, Mother Valerie, I thank you for coming in and spending some time with me this morning in the presence of God, immersed in his wonderful word. And before we go this morning, we have words from our sister in Christ, Sister Carol. And, you know, I just want to say, my sister, I believe she has had a great vacation and spent some time with God. And the word was this, God is not limited. Anything is possible with him. And I just like to say, have a trusting in God Thursday. As Sister Carolyn told us, to have a wonderful Wednesday and a triumphant Tuesday. We got to keep trusting God and having a moving Monday. So we've had a moving Monday. We've had on Tuesday. We've had a wonderful Wednesday. And we're going to have a thankful Thursday. Hallelujah. Tell God thank you. Thank you for allowing me to spend time with you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love and your kindness. Thank you for just being who you are, an awesome and mighty Father. You are a good, good Father. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. And so I just thank God for his words. I thank God for David, who trusted in him. And note, every war campaign, everything that he got, he dedicated it to the Lord. We got to learn how to dedicate whatever it is that you're holding on to, dedicate it to the Lord. Thank you so much for joining me, Mother Valerie. Will you pray us out this morning as we pray? May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other in Jesus' name. We pray over you and yours as Mother Valerie prays us out. Have a blessed day, family, and spend some time with God.
You know, the title was There Is None Like You, or There Is None Like You. I mean, you can look up, you can look down, you can look everywhere. You're not going to find anybody like Jehovah,
anybody.
The great I Am.
There is none. No God like Jehovah.
None. There is none. I mean, they worship the Baals, and they worship this. They worship a calf. They worship that. But there is none
on,
like
mother.
You. None can do the things that you do. There is no other God but our God, because he's the true God. He's the only God. He's real. All this other stuff you worship is just something you worship that they made with their own hands. There is none like God. Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank and praise you for being the Most High God. We want to thank and praise you for the things that you do. We want to thank and praise you for forgiving us of all our sins, knowing and unknowing. We want to thank and praise you and ask you to bless Pastor Bridget as she goes to work. God, we love you. And Lord, create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Help us, God, to do your will, not our will, but your will. Well, that's what we're here for. We are your ambassadors. And Lord, help us to be good ambassadors, to represent you righteously. And we thank and praise you for the healing of Janice and Rita. We thank and praise you for healing Pastor Bridget's family, Pastor Jess's family, all the families that need healing. Oh, God, we do this and we ask for this. You say when two touch and agree, asking the Father anything in Jesus' name, you said it would be done. And Mother Pittman, Michael, God, we ask you to go to him right now from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He's got cancer, and he had just told everybody about it, Pastor Dawes, his pastor. And we're asking you to heal him, God, to heal him. Let him stay here because his mother needs him. I remember in the Bible when a young man was dead, you went by and touched that coffin and raised that man back up and gave him to his mama. So we're asking you that they're going to treat him with medication, no chemo. And God, use the medication. Is there anything? There's none like you. Use the medication. Heal Michael's body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. We're asking this in Jesus' name, and we thank and give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a wrap.
Yeah. It's a wrap, Mother. Why? Because I got to go to work.
Bye-bye. It was a wrap.
Thank you so much for joining, Mother and I. Have a great day, everybody. It's a wrap.